without further ado, I would like to invite Andy up. Andy! If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, go ahead and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I will hand out some notes here to you guys, and you have a mic that works. Okay.
How's everybody doing today? Tonight? Great. Is everybody on fall break? Well, sorry, Leah. Is everybody else on fall break other than Leah? Raise your hand if you're on fall break. Okay, that's pretty much everybody. All right. Okay. Does everybody have a note sheet? All right. I am very excited to be going through 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. So if you haven't turned there already, please turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. As you're doing that, this is the question I want you to think about. What is important to you in your life? And if you could do anything you'd like to do, what would it be? Anything that you'd like to do in your life. Because all of us, there's all kinds of things that we'd like to do. But anything you'd like to do in your life, what would it be? Do you understand what I mean? So not just like, I want to go to the store, but I want to be a baseball player. Actually, I'm giving something away there. I was an incredible baseball player. Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. But that is what I wanted to do when I was your age. I wanted to be a baseball player. So what I want you guys to do is raise your hand and tell me what is important to you in your life or what's something that you really would like to do with your life. Katie. You want, what's that? Is that a car? Is that a car? Oh, you'd like to buy a Mercedes-Benz. For what reason, Katie? Just because it's a cool car? Yeah. Okay. Buy a nice car. How about that? Okay, what else? I know you guys think about this all the time. David Cribbs. And what is your favorite flavor? Moose Tracks. Okay, very good. All right, I want you, that's great because I love ice cream, but I want you guys to think even, just feel just a little bit deeper. What is it that you really want to do with your life? Travel the world.
Dang it.
And do what? Oh, wow, that's great. Okay, travel the world. Feed kids. Okay. We're going to do like four or five more here. What, you want to be a detective? Okay. Okay. Josh Belts. You want to be a doctor? Good. You want to be what kind of? An art therapist? Oh man, that's a cool thing. And you use an art therapy to help them, right? To be able to, that's a great thing to do. Very needed.
Skydiving.
Well, now there is a thing really I have no desire to do. Okay, one more. Dan. Adopt some orphans, okay. All right. Okay, this is a sampling of things that you guys all would like to do. There are many more things, I'm sure, that all of you have thought about in your head. Plenty of things that I've thought about over the years. What I really want you to be thinking about as we go over 1 Thessalonians 2 today is what do you want to do in your life that really matters? Now, not that these things don't matter at all. We're going to come back to them at the end. But what is it that really matters in life? All right? All right, so you guys are turned to 1 Thessalonians 2, correct? All right, so this will tell me how well you paid attention to AJ last week. What type of book is 1 Thessalonians? It's a letter. Very good. Or an epistle. And who wrote this letter, Katie? I heard you say that. Paul wrote this letter. And what kind of letter is it? What kind of letter is it? It's definitely to people. Yes. Letters, hopefully, or most of the time, are written to people. So I guess, do you know what I mean when I say what kind of letter is it? Like, there's reasons you write letters to people, right? So any idea what kind of letter this is? It is an informational letter, but it... go ahead.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, so it's a letter of encouragement. And I hope all of you guys are in the... Do you guys write... Does anybody write letters anymore? Okay, that's good. Do you type your letters out, or do you actually write them with a pencil or pen? For real? Man, that's pretty impressive. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you guys actually write letters. All right, this is for $1 million. Do I have everybody's attention now? What was the central truth from last week? Dun, dun, dun. Callie. Our lives should shout the gospel. Absolutely. Very good. That is $1 million for you. Maybe some ice cream would be. Thanks, Callie. Okay, so those are the main things that we talked about last. That was one of the central truths that was the central truth, that our lives should shout the gospel. Not a big surprise then as we go into 1 Thessalonians 2, that our lives should still continue to shout the gospel, and Paul is going to carry on with that theme. Here's the central truth for today. We shout the gospel, ... by walking in a manner, anybody want to fill in the blank there? Worthy of God. Okay, very good. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. I feel like this is, as I studied this passage this week, this is what I felt like the theme of this passage was in 1 Thessalonians 2. It says, we exhorted each one of you, that's encouraged each one of you, and well, exhorted you, and encouraged you, and charged you, to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So I have a question for you guys. So last week, AJ talked about shouting, our lives should shout the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? Jesus' story. You want to tell me what the story is? I mean, it's okay if you don't. You want somebody else to answer?
His life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins.
Okay, his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. For a lot of you guys have heard me teach before. A really simple way to remember the gospel. Last year, we took a whole year to go through the gospel. It was great. Really great. Good. If I don't even know if those are still online to listen to, but they were great messages. So an easy way to remember it, my friend Tony Gwynn came up with three things. So Leah, what are those three things? This is, Leah better know this, right? It's her dad. Yes. Okay, so when you guys think about the gospel, three easy ways to remember what the gospel is the problem. And what's the problem? Sin. What about sin, though? What is sin? Sin separates us from God. How do we know what sin is, though? Anything that goes against God's word, right, and his will, right? So what about, are all of us sinners? Yes. Very good. You guys are at least nodding the right answers. So there's a problem. Why is sin a problem? Oh, come on, guys. Why is sin a problem? Because we're... I'm not going to let you answer, AJ. Why is sin a problem? It separates us from God, who is... He's perfect and holy, right? God is perfect and holy, and he can't accept sin. So there's a problem in that we are all sinners, and he can't accept our sin. So what does that sin deserve? Punishment, Very good. And that punishment is what? Death. All right. So what's the solution? What's the solution? Jesus is the solution. His death, burial, and resurrection. He died for our sins so that we could have what? We could have what? Life, abundant life now, but ultimately eternal life with him, right? Okay, so what is our response to that, though? What is our response to that? Somebody other than you. Tell me your name. Mackenzie, this is great. Yeah, thanks, Mackenzie. You guys who are have been here for a while, Mackenzie's the first time, and she knows all these answers. Man, okay, what's the response, Leah? Yeah, to repent of our sin, right? Turn from our sin. And who do we turn to? We turn to God, right? We have faith in God and what he's done on the cross for us. Problem, solution, response. All right? We shout that gospel by our lives. So our lives have to be lived in a manner that is worthy of God. That's what we're going to talk about now, 1 Thessalonians 2. So why would you want to live this way? Why would you want to live this way? So turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Verse 4a. When somebody has that, raise your hand. I'm going to have you read it, other than Mackenzie. All right, now Carter, you're going to read it, and then I want you to fill in the blank even. All right? 1-4-A. 4-A, just the beginning part of it.
For we know brothers loved by God.
Okay, so we are what by God? We are loved by God, okay? We are loved by God. Caleb, how about 1 Thessalonians 1-4-B? He has chosen you, so we are chosen by God, all right? Number three, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Who has that one? Okay, so we have the power of what within us? We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Do you guys know how big of a deal that is for us as believers? We have God within us. That's crazy. That's mind-blowing. But God declares us righteous and holy in his sight when we place our trust and our hope in him. The only reason he can do that is he is within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. And he empowers us to live the way that we should live, right? So we don't have to feel like we got to do it alone. We have the Holy Spirit within us to live the way that in a way that is worthy of God. So don't forget that. We're going to talk here in a bit about how we live a life that's worthy of God. But if you separate living a life that's worthy from God or of God without the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel like you can never do it. You're going to feel like you can never do it because in our finite, sinful state, we can't do things without God, all right? We cannot do things without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live in a way that is pleasing and honoring to him. Do not forget that, because otherwise, what could happen? If you think, oh man, I've got these 10 or 15 things I got to do, what ends up happening? We are saved. How are we saved? We're saved by what? Grace, which is a gift that we don't deserve, right? So if you started thinking that you had all of these things that you had to do in order to be worthy before God, it would discount that grace, wouldn't it? You would no longer think, you would think, I've got to do step one, step two, step three to earn God's favor. We live a life that's worthy and holy before God because the Holy Spirit is within us, all right? Don't ever forget that, you guys. It is so easy. Even for me as a believer, I've been a believer for 30 years or so. it is really easy for me to forget that and think, I read a passage of scripture and I'm thinking, ugh, I can't do this. It's like 10 steps to doing something. It's about the Holy Spirit within me that empowers me to do good works for Him, okay? Remember what Galatians 5 says. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Faithfulness, sorry. Oh, Luke, you got me. But yeah, but it's the fruit of the Spirit within your life, all right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not anything that you do by yourself. Okay, I kind of just want to hit that point. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Okay, great. So we have been what from the wrath to come? We've been rescued or delivered or saved, right? From the wrath to come. Does anybody know what wrath is? What is wrath? Very bad. What'd you say? Punishment. Wrath is like the worst kind of anger you could ever think of. That's what God has towards sin, right? His wrath towards sin is that we're all separated from God. All of us fall short. And if it was up to us and anything that we did, we would deserve God's wrath. All right? Okay, Psalm 16:6. Psalm 16 is the passage. If any of you guys were here this summer, you guys memorized a passage from Psalm 16. That's my favorite passage. I think AJ picked passages that the leaders really liked. So Psalm 16 is a great psalm to recite to memory. But Psalm 16:6, does anybody have that? Like to read it, Carter? You already did it. I have you do it. Go ahead. Okay, so we have a beautiful, how do you fill that in there? We have a beautiful what? Inheritance. What's an inheritance? What is an inheritance? Anybody? Other than Mackenzie? Josh? Right. So an inheritance is something you receive after you die, right? If you're still living, if my parents were to die soon, they have an inheritance that they're leaving to me. They have money or something that's valuable to them that they're giving to me. What's our inheritance as a believer in Christ? Eternal life. Yeah, that's our beautiful inheritance, right? We are going to live with God forever and ever and ever and ever, and it's going to be the best thing you could ever imagine, all right? Okay, number 6, Psalm 16:7. Mackenzie, go ahead. Okay, so the Lord gives us what? Counsel. Isn't that a great thing that the Lord gives us counsel? So we can go to the Lord, we can go to His Word, we can go to Him in prayer, and say, Lord, help me to make the right decision today in whatever circumstance or situation you're in. That's a pretty incredible thing, right? So keep that in mind as you're living your life, that the Lord counsels us. He is the almighty counselor. Okay, Psalm 16:11. Go ahead. Okay, so we have been given everlasting what and what? Joy, for sure. Life, pleasures, right? Joy and pleasures forevermore. So all of these things that you guys are really wanting in life, what God gives us is so much greater. Don't ever forget that. But what God gives us is so much more lasting than anything the world would ever have to offer to any of you guys. Okay, so as believers in Christ, this is back to question number 1, we should want to walk in a manner worthy of God. Why is that? Because look at all the great things God has done for us. These are some really great things, you guys. Hopefully when you're reading these things, you're like, man, that is an amazing God that we serve. And as you read those through those things, you see that you're loved by God. You're chosen by Him. You have the power of the Spirit within you. You've been saved from wrath. You have a beautiful inheritance. The Lord gives us counsel, and He gives everlasting joy and pleasure. Your response to that should be what? Should be, well, you definitely would spread the, hopefully you'd want to spread the good, I mean, I hope you'd want to spread the good news. That's pretty awesome news, isn't it? All those things that we have pleasure, all those things that I just said make you love God all the more, right? I hope so. I hope you guys read those things and you say, man, Andy just told me what the gospel is, that I have a problem, I'm separated from God, and I deserve a life of eternal hell. Really. But because of what He's done, I have life, not just here and now, but I have life eternal with Him forever, where I'll have pleasures forevermore. That's pretty great news. And it should be something that you guys are saying, man, I love that. I love God. As I read about Him and His Word, I know there's a bunch of things in there that say, I'm supposed to do this, do this, do this. But I hope as you guys look and reflect upon those things, that it brings you great joy because of what God's done for you. Okay, so in every single one of Paul's letters, what you guys will see as you read them is he almost always starts out with expressing his love and admiration for God and who He is and what His character is. After he does that, then he'll go to, now this is what I want you to do. Because I've done this, because I loved you so much, live a life that's worthy before me. Okay? All right, so question number two. So I already said what the central truth is. What's the central truth that I'm going to tell you today? Just want to make sure you guys are listening. It's at the top of your page. We shout the gospel by walking in a manner worthy of God, right? So how do you live a life worthy of God? Hopefully, Paul's going to tell us, how do we live this life that's worthy before God? All right, so we are going to go to 1 Thessalonians 2. You guys are probably wondering, is Andy ever going to get to 1 Thessalonians 2? All right, so verse 2. Who would like to read 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2? Carter. Okay, great. So be what in the midst of conflict? Go ahead, Carter. Be bold in the midst of conflict. Let me tell you what happened to Paul and Silas. They were in Philippi, and they were proclaiming the gospel of God, and they were arrested. Not only were they arrested, they were dragged into the town square, and they were beaten. Not only were they beaten, but their clothes were taken off, and they were beaten with their clothes off. Then they were imprisoned. Then they were shackled. And what did they do after they did that? They were imprisoned. They sang hymns to the Lord. Can you imagine that? If you were beaten like that, proclaiming the gospel. Here you are proclaiming the gospel, and you get beaten. To the point of, I mean, who knows how badly they were beaten, right? And they were shackled. That's a big deal. Were any of you guys in church today? Do you remember when Pastor Jim was talking about John Patton? Does anybody remember that? What happened to him? When he wanted to go to, I can't remember their names, but they were cannibals, right? Elizabeth, what happened? His wife and kid both died. He felt the Holy Spirit leading him to go to these cannibals. It's crazy, man. It brought me to tears as he was talking about it today, because it made me really sit back and reflect, would I be willing to do that? I thought was no. I don't think I would be willing to do that. But he went, and not only did he know that probably, I mean, he could be cannibalized like the people that were there before him, but his wife died right within the first month, I think, and then his son died after that, yet he still proclaimed the gospel. Amidst, I mean, talk about conflict, you guys, man, that is major conflict. But he was still bold in his witness to Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome.
And did you catch, I love that line, did you guys catch what he said? He said, I'm invincible. This guy with the spear that was following him around, he's like, I'm invincible as long as God still has a plan for my life.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to encourage you guys to go jump off bridges or anything like that, but like, he felt, he was so in tune with what God's will was for him. He's like, okay, this guy has a spear. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Really important for you guys to know as students, like, abiding in God's will for your life, should encourage you to be bold, which is what a retreat is all going to be about.
That's right. It's a good plug for the retreat right there. Okay. All right, so be bold in the midst of conflict. Number two. Let's see, verse 4. Who would like to read verse 4? Jonathan.
But just as we have been approved by God to walk up with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God.
Okay, so Jonathan, be a what? Be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. There's an interesting thing it says at the verse, end of verse 4. Please God who tests our hearts. That seems kind of strange. So why would God test our hearts? What's he testing? Our faithfulness. Very good. Yeah, he's testing our faithfulness to him, right? He's testing whether or not we really, when we say we're a believer in Christ, are we really ready to lay down our lives for him? Are we really ready to do what he says? He's testing us. He wants us to throw away idols like AJ talked about last week and really follow him. So he's testing us. He wants us to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. When I was in high school, I mentioned that I was a baseball player, and I thought I was an exceptional baseball player. Thank you, Dan. I'm glad you clarified that. And I really wanted to play all the time, and there were times when I did not play, and I did not understand why I could not play. And I oftentimes would say really unkind things to my other players on the team about, this manager doesn't know what he's doing. I'm like the best thing ever. I'm like the best right fielder, first baseman ever. I was left-handed. I am still left-handed, actually. But this is what I did. I maliciously, and I slandered my manager behind his back to my friends. I'm to live a life that's worthy of the God who saved me. I failed. So just something to think about, you guys, is that there will be plenty of opportunities every single day of your life where you can choose between what God would ask you to do and what man asks you to do. You have friends all the time that are pushing you and telling you this is what you need to do so that you feel accepted, you'll go ahead and do it, because you want the applause of your friends more than the applause of God. And you know what? I've been there too. I want the applause of men. I do. But I also want, at the end of my life, for God to say to me, Andy, you are a good and faithful servant that followed me and loved me to the end. That's what I want more than anything. So, okay. Number 3. Let's see. Verse 7. I put these, there's some passages, if you guys have time at home, that are really in your own devotional times, that I put by each of these, by most of these, that you're welcome to read. For time's sake, we're not going to go through them right now. I don't know, how much time do I have, AJ?
You have all time in the world.
Okay, number 3. I guess I could do the verses then if I wanted. All right, verse 7. This one really has convicted me this week, actually in the last month. Verse 7. Who has verse 7? Other than Mackenzie. Okay, so, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So what does this be what when dealing with people? Gentle. What is the opposite of gentleness? What's that? Rough. Harsh. Arrogant. How many of you know people that annoy you? I mean, that's a long list for me. So, it's really easy when people annoy you to either ignore them or to say, to be harsh with them, right? And kind of blow them off. That'd be ignoring, but just being harsh with your words to them. We have the very gospel of God within us to share with those around us. People are hurting. All of you guys are hurting in different ways. We are to be gentle with people that annoy us, or really with all people. But gentleness is what the Lord desires from us. Yes, we're to be bold. And yes, we're to be outspoken for the word of God. But if you go, like, for instance, to a crisis pregnancy center, and you are somebody that was standing out there picketing, and absolutely, I mean, it's a great thing to do, right? But who do you think you're going to have the most impact on? Somebody that where you go, you just tell them how wrong it is and how terrible it is, or the person that you're going to sit down with and figure out what's going on in their life and what their story is? You're gentle with them, like a nursing mother cares for her children, okay? So be gentle with people that you interact with. All right, number four. Verses 7 and 8. Actually, I don't think this is 7 and 8. I think, what did I put there for you guys? Just verse 8.
Before you get to verse 8, just in case you guys were paying close attention, and maybe I heard it wrong, but we were saying, like, people picketing outside of, like, mm-hmm. a Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
You said crisis pregnancy center, which is someone that we love life centers.
Yes, so sorry about that. Yes, right. Said that wrong. So, yeah, thank you.
We love life centers. We love crisis pregnancy center. We support them. They get
yes.
a lot of hope there. Planned Parenthood, on the other hand.
Yes. Yep, thanks for clarifying that. That is exactly what I meant.
Yep.
Okay, so verse 7, right? No, verse 8. Who wants to read verse 8? Calix, you're the man. Thanks, Calix, for volunteering. Okay. So, number 4 here. We are to live a life worthy of God. Be blank and blank, people. What do you think, Calix? Carter, you want to phone a friend? Carter?
Affectionate.
Here, this one's a little bit tougher. It's not as clear. We want to be transparent and loving with people. So this one also hit me between the eyes a few months ago. I have two brothers that don't know the Lord. And for the first part of my 20s and 30s, what I really wanted to do when I interacted with them is tell them they were flat out wrong the way they were living. That's what I wanted to do. I want to say, you don't understand the truth of the gospel. Would you stop it and open your eyes? Now, there may be a point where you should eventually do that with your brothers. But my brothers are completely lost. So as I was been reading this, I thought, you know, Lord, I think what you want for me more than anything is to have a relationship with them. You want me to get to know them. You want me to share my life with them, so that they'll find something that's attractive about me because of the Holy Spirit's within me, rather than just telling them that they're not doing what they should be doing. Obviously, they're not going to do what they should be doing. Why? I mean, what should I expect from them anyway? They don't know the Lord. So they're going to continually be in sin, right? So you guys need to share your lives with you. All of you have friends that aren't believers, right? You need to share your life with them. Be transparent with people. Let them know. We have the same struggles, believe it or not, as believers in Christ. We have the same struggles as your unbelieving friends. We do. Because we're all, like Jim talked about today, we're all fallen. We all need Jesus. So be transparent with people. The last thing they want is for to talk to somebody that's prideful and thinks that they're better than they are. Because we're really no better than them. We just have a Savior who we now believe in, right? Okay. All right, number five. This one, AJ kind of already alluded to it. This is what you guys are going to be doing on the retreat this weekend. So this would be verse 9. Katie, you want to read this one? Oh, you know the blank? Okay, so I'll read it for you then, unless if you don't have it open. You got it? Oh, that's okay. Here, I'll read it, and then you can fill in the blank. How about that? It says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." So, Katie, what goes in the blank there? What'd you say? For number five, it says again, remember, brothers, our labor and toil, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. So you want to be a hard worker, right? You want to be a hard worker so you're not a burden to anybody. What happens if you guys go this week for your retreat? And let's just say, do you know why AJ said to you, we're going to work hard? Do any of you guys, those of you that are going on the retreat, why do you think AJ said, we're going to work hard this week? And it's really important that we work hard. You guys know why, Elizabeth? Yeah, it's for God's glory that we do what we do. What if one of those workers that's there doesn't know the Lord and they see how you guys are just terrible workers, you really don't give a rip about anything but having fun? Do you think they're going to want to know the Jesus that we serve? But what if you work the hardest that any other group has ever worked? You guys probably are going to be this way now that we're talking about it, right? What if you worked harder than any other group worked? And you have all these workers there, because I remember I went a couple years ago. There, I don't know those workers that are there. I don't know if they really know the Lord or not. Oh my goodness, what if they don't? And they say, man, you guys are incredible. What is it? Why? How did you get all, AJ, how did you get all those people to work so hard? What a great opportunity then that is for AJ, or really any of you that would talk to the workers. You could say, let me tell you about the hope that is within me because of what Jesus has done in my life, okay? So that's why we work hard. We work hard because we want people to see the Jesus that we say is so incredible that we talked about here at the first seven things in question one. We want other people to see that God. All right, last one. Verse 10. Okay. So what's this one? Be blank and blank. Be holy and righteous. What's it mean to be holy and righteous? Set apart. Does it mean without sin? I mean, we're to be holy and righteous. So what do you got? What do you know, Mara? I mean, we're sinners, right? Go ahead. Were you going to say something? Yes. So what's the difference with us as a believer? God tells us we are, once we become a believer in him, we are holy and righteous in his sight. Woo, that's crazy because none of us are holy and righteous. But we are declared that by the God who saved us. But guess what? We still have this struggle of sin, don't we? So what are we to do when we sin? When we sin, what should we do? Turn to God. What else? Repent, confess our sin, right? And the 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Crazy, huh? So that means we will be declared righteous. We just are to confess our sin. And really, guys, if we're holy and righteous, if we're to be holy and righteous, part of that is just identifying what sin is. And that's kind of a big issue today, isn't it? Because everybody says, whatever you want to do is great. If that's good for you, that's good for me. You know, that's really okay, right? But God has a standard for us on how to live. He's not saying to us, as believers in Christ, I'm expecting perfection. We can't be perfect. What he is expecting, though, is he says, this is what's right and wrong. When you disobey me, confess your sin, and I'll forgive you. Okay? So these are the things that Paul talks about in order for us to live a life worthy of God. And things I would really challenge you guys to think about this week, especially if for those of you that are going to the retreat, really take some time and meditate on these things. How am I going to live a life that is worthy of God? I'm going to read an example of a life lived to the glory of God. Hopefully I can find it. I put it in a place where I would be able to find it right away. And now where is it? That's frustrating. Sorry, guys. I am sure that it's here somewhere. Oh, no. There it is. Because I think it's a great example. So if I didn't have it, I was going to be really bummed. All right, for those of you that are adults, I'm sure you remember the Columbine shootings. That was back in 1999, I believe. So, for those of you that don't know about that, which is really all of you but the adults, there was a shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado back in 1999 where a lot of students were killed by a couple shooters. And one of the students that was killed was named Rachel Scott. And I'm going to read to you about her, just a brief something about her life. Originally, when she first died, they thought she was one that the reason she was killed was because she proclaimed the name of Christ to the killer. The killer said, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, yes, and then she was killed. But there's been speculation of whether or not that really happened or not. But really what I want you to hear about more than that is really the life she lived ahead of time. And so let me read this to you. It says, Rachel Joy Scott, she was 17, was the first victim of the Columbine High School shooting in April 1999. Her story stood out because of her refusal to forsake her Christian faith in the face of unthinkable violence. In the wake of the tragedy, she was remembered by fellow students and her profound impact unfolded. But her story was not over, it was just beginning. It was her mom, Beth Nimno, discovered Rachel Scott's journal that people began to realize just how special Rachel's story was. When Rachel was a child, she traced her palms on a dresser and wrote inside of them, "These hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts." It was only years later that her mother would recognize how prophetic that statement was. As a teenager, Rachel kept a detailed journal of her struggles and her faith. And this is one of her journal entries. Dear God, this was on April 15th of 1998, and she died, and it was 99, April of 99, so it was about a year before her death. She said in her journal, "Dear God, I promise that I will not drink this Friday when I go out with Stephanie. This is so tempting. I want to go so bad. Well, I thought about it, as you know, and I thought that since you would forgive me anyways, I might as well go do it. Then I realized that you will always, always forgive, but you may not let it go unpunished. Then I decided not to do it strictly out of fear. Then I thought about it more and thought that if I did it out of fear, it would not be done because I loved you. I obeyed you and I followed you. That is now my reason for not going, and I know that I will always be faced with temptation, but because I love you, I obey you, and I follow you, I will not fall into the core of it. Thank you, Father, your child, Rachel Joy. So that's a great story, right? And as you guys think about what we just talked about, she was an example of somebody that knew who she was in Christ, right? She was loved by God, chosen by God, but she was bold in the midst of her conflict. They think maybe even to the point of death when she proclaimed the name of Christ. She was a God pleaser instead of a man pleaser, right? She said, I am going to choose to not drink. She was underage. She chose not to drink. Instead of a man pleaser, her friend Rachel, or friend Stephanie, wanted to go with her. And I can imagine that probably the next day when she told her friend that she wasn't going to go, what an opportunity she had probably to talk to her friend and be gentle with her and say, the reason I'm not going to do this, Stephanie, isn't because I don't care for you. It's because the God that I serve is telling me not to do it. Because I love him more than I love you. So I would imagine that she was transparent with her and loved her. I know she was probably a hard worker. I don't really know much about that. But she was definitely holy and righteous, right? She was holy and righteous not because of anything she'd done, but because of what God had done through her in her life. And she knew what was right and what was wrong. So just a great example, I think, of this passage. She really lived out 1 Thessalonians 2. Now, when you look back at these list of things that we talked about at the very beginning, I promise I'm almost done here. All of those things on there, now ice cream is maybe something, I mean, there's, but buying a nice car, traveling around the world, being a detective, a doctor, an art therapist, going skydiving, maybe you'd be a skydiving instructor, we'll just think of that, Carter, or adopting orphans. Each of those things, no matter what you guys do in life, you can do to the glory of God and live a life worthy of God regardless of anything that you decide to do in your lives. I know all of you are starting to think about that, but it doesn't really matter what you do as long as you do it to the glory of God. So that's what I'm going to leave with you guys today. Let me pray for us, and then you will have small group time. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your word that transforms us. Lord, your word that saves us. Lord, you have chosen us, and that is a great gift. Lord, for those of us that have never placed our trust and our faith in you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that you would do what you do. You transform hearts, and Lord, that you would be working in the lives of these students, for some that may not even know you, and they'd realize that they could have life everlasting with you, a life that's abundant and joy-filled. And Lord, for those of us that know you and have placed our trust in you, I pray that today we would be encouraged from what Paul said, that we would be living out a life that is worthy of you because we love you, much like Rachel did. We love you, and that's why we're doing what we do. So Lord, help us to be in your word, to remember how beautiful your word is, that it teaches us how to live, but most importantly, teaches us about you and how great you are. Lord, thanks for these group of students. Pray that they have, for those going on the retreat, would have a great time in the coming week, but also would work as if they're working unto you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.